Thank you so much for having me come back. It's been a while since I was here, Pastor. Thank you. And you guys have been supporting us for over 20 years. That's amazing. So thank you for that as well. And I just want to share a little bit of a report. You're filling out your pledge forms. Well, Pastor said they're not pledge forms. They used to be called pledge forms back in the day. I've been a missionary for over 35 years, so things, terminologies change, and I don't change with them. But your faith promises, you're filling those out. And they're kind of like, when a missionary comes, I feel like the missionary should give a stockholder's report. You've invested, what did you get out of it? Like, what's that money? So we're going to do that here in a few moments. But before we do that, I'm going to ask you to turn to Romans. Now, you can see I'm getting old when I say turn. Most people will pull out their phone and scroll. So either scroll to Romans or turn to Romans chapter 5. And I want to start here with the Word of God. And this is such a powerful portion of Scripture. I have just, if you can get that slide up there, there's a slide that says Romans 5. And we'll just read. I'm reading the New American Standard, Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. In verse 10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for speaking to us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This portion of Scripture means so much to me. When you look at those verses that we read, we see that we were helpless, ungodly sinners. I don't know about you, but that describes who I was before I was a Christian. I was helpless, ungodly sinner. In verse 10, says I was an enemy of God. And Jesus died for us. He didn't wait for us to get better. He didn't wait for us to change. He died for us in that state. I hope you see that for who that is, for what that is in your own life. I was born and raised as a Catholic. When I was 14 years old, I made confirmation, and then I was told, not in so many words, but I didn't have to go to church anymore. So the next time you go to church is funerals, weddings, things like that. And I was a freshman in high school, and I started smoking marijuana. And by the time I was 18 years old, just 4 short years, I had a needle in my arm, cocaine, and I wasn't doing too good. And I realized I needed to change. My life needed to change. I didn't know how to do that, but I was smart enough to know my life needed to change. And I ended up moving to Florida. I graduated from high school, which is a miracle in itself. And if you want to talk about that afterward, I'll be here so we can talk about that. But my next door neighbor was going to college in Florida. His name was Landy. And I said, Landy, where do you go to college? And he took out the map and he said, I go to St. Leo's. It's right here, just outside of Tampa. I said, can you drop me off here? Clearwater Beach. Might as well live by the beach if you can. So he drove me down. I got out of the car. I had $500, a suitcase. I was 18 years old, didn't know a person, but I was trying to change my life. Started drinking a lot of alcohol. I found a job. I found an apartment. Long story. But I didn't find a friend. And one day I was sitting in my apartment, and I had a bottle of Jack Daniels in my hand. I said, God, if you're real, I need a friend. And I put the bottle down and I went for a walk. As I was crossing Coronado Boulevard, Coronado Boulevard separated the beach from all the buildings in Clearwater Beach, Florida. Crossing Coronado Boulevard, this man walked up to me. He had long blonde hair and a big bushy beard. I had long red hair and a big bushy beard. You can't picture that, can you? You're laughing. Okay. We thought it was 1969. It was 1980. So we were confused. But he walked up to me, and he said, "I know you, don't I?" That's a real original line. I mean, I was afraid of people. I thought someone would sell me drugs, and it would be an undercover cop. I'd end up in prison, 1,000 miles from home. I didn't want that to happen. So I tried to walk away from him, and he stopped me in the middle of the street. He said, "I know someone who knows you, and he wants to be your friend. His name is Jesus Christ." That's the first person I talked to after I cried out to God in my apartment. And I'd love to tell you, I knelt there in the middle of Coronado Boulevard, and he prayed over me. It didn't happen that way. I said, yeah, that's cool, and I walked away. Because I had, what does that mean? Jesus wants to be my friend. Like, I had no hook for that. I had no idea what that meant. That night, on Clearwater Beach, Florida, that night, 5 people came up to me, told me about Jesus. There were a group of young adults from Suncoast Cathedral Assemblies of God Church in St. Petersburg, Florida. They were out beach witnessing. And that first guy that came by, his name was John. He went over to the group and he said, "See that guy sitting on the fence? Go after him, you know." And one by one, they came and told me about Jesus, gave me their telephone numbers and their names. And they became Jesus with flesh on. They became my friends. They didn't know me, but they became my friends. They shared Jesus. They answered my questions. We would read scripture together. I had so many questions, and they would go through with patience, and they would answer the questions. About 10 months later, maybe 11 months, I was a freshman at Valley Forge Christian College studying to be a missionary. The power of God to change a life. The power of God to change a life. I encourage you, we're going to talk about that here in a few minutes, about discipleship and what God is looking for in our lives for us to do. But I want to encourage you with that. God didn't wait for me to get cleaned up. God didn't wait for me to stop doing all. He died for me when I was in that state that I was in. And he answered my prayer. And I didn't know that was a prayer, by the way. You know, I just crying out to God. I just needed help. And there are plenty of people looking for that. We'll come back to that in a few minutes. Let me give you a stockholder share report here. You guys started supporting us. You can put that next slide up, please, if you don't mind. We were missionaries in Germany for over 10 years. Then we moved to Austria. We were world missionaries for 17 years to 2007. We transitioned to Chi Alpha in 2007. But from 2000 to 2007, we were missionaries to Austria. We were on the field for 5 years there. We pioneered at the University of Vienna. We pioneered a Christian group at the University of Vienna. The University of Vienna was started in 1365. I mean, that's pretty old school. You know what I mean? Like, they never had an organized Pentecostal witness that we could. We did research, we tried, we asked pastors in the community, they never had an outreach on that campus. So God sent us there to start an outreach on that campus. And we began that ministry. It was a church-based student ministry on campus. And we were able to not only do that ministry, but able to go to Graz, which is about an hour south with the train ride, to pioneer that ministry, an hour west to Linz. And during this time, God raised up laborers, Alan and Michelle Ambrose, who are still there now. And they came, lived in our home for a short period. We found an apartment for them in Vienna. They learned German. It took them about a year. And every Wednesday night, we would go down on the train, down to Graz, and we pioneered that ministry together. Alan and Michelle are still there. They're still ministering in Austria. They started a ministry in Salzburg now. They literally moved to Salzburg. So four ministries, they're in charge of all that's going on, student ministry. That goes back to you guys helped us get there to do that, to minister to four different universities in Austria, and the ministry is going strong. So thank you so much for being part of that ministry. In 2005, we came home on furlough, and I taught at Valley Forge for 2 years, finished up my master's degree, and which is a long story. God is so gracious. I have dyslexia. When I was in my undergraduate studies, I never even thought I'd go to college. I mean, with my high school history, I never thought I would go to college. I ended up going to college, ended up graduating from college, which is amazing, ended up getting a master's degree. God can do great things. And I still have trouble reading and writing, but thank God for spell check. I don't know about you, but when that little red line shows up, it's helpful. You know, sometimes the blue line shows up too because the grammar's off. You know, but that's a good thing. Anyway, that was a little aside. But in 2007, we transitioned to U.S. missions. Tom Reese, who is the home missions director here in the Pendel district, we went to college with Tom, and we were emailing back and forth when we were in Austria, and we were telling him about the church-based student ministries. And he said, Joe, will you pray about staying in Pennsylvania and helping us do something with Chi Alpha here? Because we have so many schools. At the time, the Brookings Institute said there were 250 four-year bachelor degree-granting schools in Pennsylvania, 250. And we had three Chi Alpha groups in the state. And so we started praying about that, and God led us to stay stateside to start a ministry we call Adopt a Campus. And Adopt a Campus is something that we want to see every church in the Assemblies of God be part of, where you're praying on a regular basis for a local college campus. And so that we can see things change. We can do that next slide, please. At the University of Delaware, so part of what we did is started a ministry at the University of Delaware, another long story, 24,000 students. As Pastor mentioned, we have a ministry Sunday night at the university. Heidi is there. She sends her greetings to you as well. But we started a Sunday night church service on campus, goes from 5 to 7, and she's going to be hosting that. We actually have, this is exciting, one of our former students who went on to get a doctorate degree came back to the campus as an employee. He's a professor there, and he's now the advisor for Chi Alpha when he was a student before. So that's exciting to see that kind of thing. He's actually speaking tonight, Dr. Joe Stock, a great guy, doing a good job as a Christian professor on a secular college campus. So pray for Joe and some of his colleagues there. So she's not here, but we were able to get that ministry started. Pray for the University of Delaware. You can put that next slide up, please. Just a few pictures. This is our table. Naya is our president. She's standing next to the girl with the red shirt, with the gray shirt. Naya is president of our club, our Christian club, Chi Alpha. We're a recognized Christian club on campus. And what that means is that every right and privilege of other clubs, we have those as well. And so when we ask them to reimburse us for certain things, we get money from the university to do evangelism on campus. Isn't that great? I mean, a secular, every student pays activity fees, and that those activity fees are divvied up among the clubs. And if you ask for money, you get money from the school. And we turn around and do that. And you see some of the things that we were doing. We have a table that we set up tomorrow, actually, from noon till 2, we'll be doing an evangelism outreach in one of the student centers, where we'll be giving away free cookies for college students, free cookies, and getting in conversations with them. So it's always good to have something to offer to get into a conversation. Pray for us. Pray for the university. Pray across the country. You have universities. So we were talking beforehand, Clarion, not that far, of course. Grove City, not that far. Teal, not that far. You probably can name other ones that you know of. I'm sorry? Slippery Rock. Yes, play for. Interesting connection. Joe Stock did his undergraduate at Slippery Rock, and then he went to Pitt for part of his master's degree and ended up at the University of Delaware, and that's where he got involved in Chi Alpha, got his life right, and ended up coming back as a professor. So, yeah, Slippery Rock, just down the road. Pray for Slippery Rock. They need prayer. Everybody's laughing. Yes, we've all heard the stories, right? Let me just share with you about international students. International students, we have over 2,000 international students at the University of Delaware before Chi Alpha, before COVID, we had close to 5,000 internationals at the university. And when we were doing ministry before COVID, we had the great opportunity to share the gospel with Saudi Arabian students. They would come to the table. I have little business cards, you know, this shape, and it says on there, if you want to practice English, send me a text. And so they would send me a text, and we'd get together and have coffee, and we'd talk English, try to help them learn their English. First two guys came, then three guys came, then four guys came. Every Tuesday we met with Saudi Arabian students, and every time we would talk about Jesus, we'd talk about the Bible, we'd talk about the holidays in America that we celebrate. Then one day we had about 15 Saudi Arabian students, and there was this one guy, I didn't recognize him, never seen him before, and I asked the guy who had been coming the most, I said, who's this guy? And they said, that's the son of the ambassador from Saudi Arabia. He came up extra. The next week, no one came, and that was the end. So they didn't want those students hearing about Jesus at the University of Delaware. But it was a powerful time of planting seed. We'll see what happens. It's illegal to preach the gospel in Saudi Arabia. You know that, right? You can't stand on the street corner and tell somebody your testimony. That could be a problem. But God sends people to us. Pray for the campuses. Look at the next slide. Some statistics. We'll just go real quick. 1,500 deaths due to alcohol on campuses in America every year. 696,000 assaults. One out of every five girls who go to a secular college campus report some kind of sexual assault. Not acceptable. Not acceptable. One out of every five girls. These are statistics that come from the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. Just as a church alone, that should make us stand back and say, God, do something on those campuses. My wife thinks dorms in colleges are the worst invention ever in America. You know, sending 18-year-old kids off to... We help families move into their dorms as part of the ministry of Chi Alpha. And one year we were moving this guy into his dorm, and his mother was standing in the hallway. She had this look on her face, and I said, I'm sorry, is something wrong? Can I help you? She said, we're moving my son into this room. I said, yeah. She said, but they're moving girls into the other room right next door. And I said, yeah, this is a co-ed dorm. It's boy room, girl room, boy. She said, oh, I didn't know that. I'm glad I'm sending a son. That's what she said. Like, that's the first she found out while she's moving her child into the dorm. We need to pray for our schools. 33% of all college students binge drink. That's five alcoholic beverages within a two-hour period. I'll tell you, as a teenager who was not a Christian, that's not hard to do. And I think that number's probably low from what we see on campus. And I've been to the parties at the University of Delaware. It's really amazing. I had some cards made up, and on the cards it had my information, my contact information, a couple scripture verses, and basically just saying, look, guys, I know I can't stop you from doing this, but when you need help, I'll be here for you. And I'd go right up to the parties, and I'd pass them out. No one ever kicked me out of one of those parties. Never. And I would stand there and I'd talk to them, and they'd put the cards in their pockets. It's amazing. I've had people come up to me at those parties, like, can I have one of those? like I was giving out dollar bills or something. Like, can I have one of those? Like, sure. I mean, they need help. They know they need help. That's who I was. I knew I needed help. They don't know where to look for it. We're praying for them. The next slide, please. I need to pick it up a little bit here. Everycampus.com. There are 4,190 campuses in America. 1,700 of them have no known gospel witness. In America. Think about that. In America. There are over 1,700 campuses without a known gospel witness. And not just a known Chi Alpha. Chi Alpha is the Assemblies of God outreach, but we're talking about InterVarsity, Campus Crusade for Christ, Navigators, you name it. There is not a known ministry on those campuses, 1,700 of them. And over 600 have more than 1,000 students. So over 600 campuses with more than 1,000 students without a known gospel witness in America today. Pray for our college campuses. The next slide, please. Luke 10:2, Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Please pray that God would send forth laborers. Pray about being a laborer yourself. You have campuses around here. You can be praying for them. You can go. I've never been kicked out of a cafeteria. I've gone to different universities. Just walk in, act like you know what you're doing, buy a meal, sit down, eat, pray for somebody. I'm not saying go up and lay hands on them and start praying in tongues. No, just sit at your table, pray, read the bulletin boards. You'd be amazed what's going on our campuses, what they advertise on our bulletin boards. You can do that. Pray, pray, pray. The next slide, please. The good news is, so that's a lot of bad news, right? Let's do some good news here. The gospel is good news. So the good news, 2011, Chi Alpha had 570 affiliated workers. In 2023, that's 1,778 affiliated workers. That's over 200% increase. 200% increase in the workers. So, and InterVarsity, Campus Crusade for Christ, again, Navigators, they're all reporting increase in workers. That's exciting. I think God's planning. He's getting ready to do something. You saw some of the news with revivals taking place. You may be watching the news now, seeing what's going on college campuses. At UD last week, we had a small march. It wasn't a very big march. They had a little lay-in. We have the Joe Biden School of Administration at our public administration at the University of Delaware. And so they marched from one of the student centers, the one that we're doing ministry at tomorrow, down the street to the school, and then they laid down on the grass for a couple hours, and that was the end of it. So thank God. I'm part of the University Religious Leaders Organization. We met Wednesday a week ago. The Muslim student leader and the Jewish student leader are meeting together. They're having their students come together to share a meal so that there's not an open animosity on campus. It's a big step forward for them to be doing that. It's a major step forward, actually. And continue to pray for what you see going on in the news. The next slide, Chi Alpha alone, this is just like an average year, 287 campuses. I think these were 2020-2021 academic year statistics. I haven't been able to find an updated. 2,800 salvations on secular college campus, 1,300 water baptisms, almost 1,200 spirit baptisms on secular college campuses. That's exciting to see students get filled with the Holy Spirit right on campus. 531 confirmed physical healings. Students praying for students and God showing up. 15,000, that's not a misprint, close to 16,000 students involved in discipleship groups. So it's not just about somebody raising their hand and getting saved and never hearing from them again. It's about being in a group where you're getting discipled, where you're becoming the man or the woman of God that God called you to be. Discipleship groups. I'm currently meeting with students. I meet with men students, and we are going through the scriptures. They're growing. I have a senior and a junior that we're meeting with. Continue to pray. Continue to pray. Continue to pray. The other part of the ministry, the next slide, is adopt a campus. And this is what I started out talking about, trying to get churches involved. So we're in 24 AG district that represents 29 different states. There's no rhyme or reason why we're on the East Coast and West Coast and not in the middle. It's just I go where the open door opens. So that's somebody asked me about that. So those orange states are the ones where we are in right now. You're part of that. You're helping us do that. All that I've talked about at the University of Delaware, students getting saved, Joe Stock coming back, all those things are because you help support us. And that somehow comes back on your account. Read Philippians chapter 4. Paul talks about that. We're not quite sure how that all works, but thank you. We have a next slide. It's just some website information. I have a blog where I blog a new school every day, Monday through Friday. Right now we're finishing up in Washington State where we put information on every school. You can pray for those schools. There's a University of Delaware website. It's on the card. Help yourself to literature over here. If you want to receive an email from me, I send one out about every 8 weeks or so. Put your email address down or just say, yes, I want to pray. Put your name down. I will not sell your email address to raise money for missions. I never even thought about that, so it's not going to happen. But we do have prayer cards over there. Help yourself. Pick up a prayer card. Pick up some information and pray. One more slide for this, and that's just our logo, and I just wanted to show you that. I like talking, but so we're going to keep going because I want to go back to Scripture with you. We're not done. Scripture. Sunday morning, we need to look at the Word of God. The next slide, please. So we're talking about discipleship. In this verse, 2 Timothy 2:2, in Chi Alpha back in the day when we were in college at Valley Forge, Heidi was in charge of the Chi Alpha prayer groups at Valley Forge where we would meet and pray for other campuses. But that was a long time ago. But they used to say, 2:2-ing it to the world. 2 Timothy 2:2-ing it to the world. 2 Timothy 2:2-ing it to the world. Okay, gotcha. So this is what it says. Paul's writing to Timothy, the things which you have heard me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The things which you have heard me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So Timothy, Paul was teaching Timothy. Timothy was supposed to find others, faithful men who will teach others. Four generations in this scripture. 2 Timothy, 2:2-ing it to the world. Paul discipled Timothy. Timothy is to find people who he could disciple who then could go on and disciple someone else. See how that works? And that's how we got here. That's how we got here. This has been going on since AD 33. If they didn't do this back in AD 33, we wouldn't be here. Faithful men who are passing it on, faithful men and women who are passing it on. I could name those guys who meant the most to me down in Florida, who shared the gospel, answered my question. John Epright is the guy with the long blonde hair who first talked to me. He introduced me to Jeff Moffitt. Jeff actually baptized me in Suncoast Cathedral, at Suncoast Cathedral Assemblies of God there in St. Petersburg. I'm sure you can name someone in your life who was instrumental in you being here today, in you knowing Jesus. The question is, can someone name you as being instrumental in their lives? That's the question. Can someone name you as being that person who either led them to Christ or helped them grow as a disciple in Christ? We're talking about missions. This is a mission service. We can go overseas or you can do it right here, but the goal is the same. We have to find people who need Christ. Not only lead them to Christ. I have a friend who is an evangelist. I mean, he goes to the shoe store to buy new shoes, and the shoe salesman, see, I'm showing my age again. They probably don't even have shoe salesmen anymore, but this is a true story that he was telling me. He went to the shoe store, bought shoes, and he led the person to Christ there while they're trying on shoes. You know what I mean? Like, he's an evangelist. He stays at a hotel. He's eating lunch with somebody, and they get saved while they're having. It's just, that's who he is. He's an evangelist. Then he invites them to church. The question is not just introducing someone to Christ, but helping them to grow in Christ, to become that disciple. Can someone name you? Are we passing it on? The next slide, please. 1 Timothy, again, Paul writing to Timothy. And this is what he says. Have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. That's verse 7. That word discipline in other translations has been translated as exercise or train. Discipline yourself. Exercise yourself. Train yourself. It's the word, I'm not a Greek scholar, but who knows Blue Letter Bible on the internet? You can go there and it'll tell you what the Greek means or the Hebrew means. It's a great tool. This word is gymnasio. This word for discipline is gymnasio. It's the word that we get gymnasium from, gymnasio. And in Germany, high school is called gymnasium. And they not only get physically fit, but they get mentally fit because the word means both. And Paul is saying to Timothy, discipline yourself, train yourself, exercise yourself. And then verse 8, the next slide, says, for bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds a promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So Paul's comparing this spiritual fitness and this physical fitness. Physical fitness is good. Spiritual fitness is better because it will prepare you for eternal life. Are you in a regimen? Are you working out spiritually? Right? We hear it all the time. People on diets. You see it on TV if you watch TV. And there's all these commercials. You, Marie Osmond, she looks like she, you know, how many times was she tucked? I don't know, but I'm sorry. But you see all of these diets. People are obsessed with being physically fit in America. How about spiritual fitness? What spiritual regimen are you on? When I was in high school, even though I did drugs and all that, I played 4 years of football, and I would work out. We would have the routines that we would do. Even during the summer, the coach would give us summer routines so that we can come back in shape. What routine are you? Are you reading your Bible? That's one of the first ones. Are you reading your Bible? Is that part of your routine? Do you get up every morning or some part during the day and read part of the scriptures? You can go through the scripture in a year, or you can go through in 2 years, or you can go through in 3 years. I was meeting with Daniel. Daniel was the youngest student to be admitted into microbiology PhD program at the University of Delaware. I was meeting with him every single week for years, literally, for 3 years. And we would go through the scripture. Daniel read, in 3 years, he read through the whole Bible while he was a microbiology PhD student. So if Daniel could do that as a student, put yourself on a reading regimen. Read the whole book. Read Ezekiel. Chapters are really long. Read them. Read Leviticus. It helps you understand Hebrews. Read it. How about your prayer life? Are you praying on a regular basis? Do you have a regular time of prayer? These are some of the spiritual muscles that we need to be exercising. Witnessing to other people. Sharing. Financially, Pastor talked about finances. Having faith. These are all part of that workout. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So just grow in that. Develop those spiritual muscles. Paul encourages us to do that. The next slide, please. We have John, 1 John 3:17. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? And I thought it's appropriate, and when I'm preparing for this, to bring this in because there's some practical, John's making it practical. You know, that you may have heard, if you've been in the church, works, faith. Works, faith. James, Paul. James, Paul. The New Testament's a whole. If you have faith, it will show up in what you do. It will show up in what you do. So we have to be men and women of works. Not works of salvation. We talked about that full circle back in Romans chapter 5. Jesus died for us while we were enemies, while we were against him, while we were sinners. So it's not works for salvation. It's works showing that we believe what we say we believe. And that you can put that last slide up, please. Not works unto salvation. It could take some of your time. Meeting with someone takes time. I encourage you to set aside some time. Meeting with someone could take some of your money. If you're going to meet with somebody and buy a cup of coffee a week to go through Scripture, to help someone grow in their faith. We're inviting them out. We're inviting them to your home for a meal. You have Bible knowledge. If you've been a Christian for any period of time, if you've come to church on a regular basis, you have more Bible knowledge than the average person out there. The guys that I'm working with now at the University of Delaware, they have so little Bible knowledge. It's incredible the difference between 2024 and 2015 when we started at the University of Delaware. I would say something like, it's like those guys who were thrown into the furnace in the book of, you know, the book of Daniel. Like, what are you talking about? You know, Daniel in the lion's den, never heard of it. You know, starting at zero and trying to build Bible knowledge. You have that. People out there don't have that. Share that with people. I'm going to take a minute right now. I'm going to look at my clock. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Just think for a moment. Who is that one person that you could disciple? That one person that you could walk with this year between now and Thanksgiving or Christmas? Meet with them on a weekly basis or every other week. Help them to read the Bible and understand that. Who is that one person? Think about that. Father, I thank you. I know that you've given each person in this room a name, someone that they could pray for, someone that they could pray about meeting on a regular basis, someone that they could get involved in their life and help them to grow and change, just like Paul encouraged Timothy to do. And Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. And that includes Emlinton, that includes Pennsylvania, that includes Delaware and the United States, not only overseas in Germany and Austria and India and Sri Lanka and China, but right here in our neighborhood, in our schools, at our workplace. Father, open our hearts and our minds and our eyes to see who that person is. Give us holy boldness to start the conversation. Help us to overcome our own fears, God. We thank you for salvation. We thank you that you saved us, that you brought us here, that you love us with a love that is unmatchable. Help us to share that with those around us. Father, I thank you for the church. I thank you for this local church. I pray that you would bless the leadership in all that they do and help them as they plan and schedule and work out the bugs. And we just pray, God, that you would be glorified in this community through this church, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.